This proverb was preached 100 years ago by the Dean of the Church of Ireland for the opening of the new Northern Ireland Parliament. It opened on the 22nd of June 1921. So this coming Tuesday is the 100th anniversary of the opening of the Ulster Parliament there in Belfast City Hall. So the Dean took as his text Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's the text that I would like to take for a few moments tonight. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we thank you, dear Lord, for the joy of being in your house tonight, the joy of singing the praises of the Lamb, the joy of fellowship one with another, the joy of reading your infallible word, the joy of meditating upon it. And now, dear Lord, we ask for the help of the gracious Holy Spirit. Lord, that divine light, divine illumination would shine upon this text of Scripture as we consider it for a short time this evening. Lord, we pray you would encourage us, bless us, do us good. Stir us tonight, challenge us. Come, Lord, revive our nation, we pray. But we know, Lord, that revival starts with the individual. And Lord, help us to do what old Gypsy Smith did all those years ago when he drew a circle around himself and said, Lord, revive everyone inside this circle. I pray, Lord, you would revive me. I pray that you would revive your people, that we might rejoice in thee once again, one last time, one final time before our Savior comes. For we pray in his name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We could say that this verse is like two staircases. Two staircases. You've got one staircase that's going up. You've got another staircase that's going down. And you've got a door in the middle, as it were. You have a divider in the middle between the two staircases. See that little word, but, in the middle? But. There's the door, the but. The blessed buts, beautiful buts of the Bible. There's a lot of them. I googled it today. There's 3,751 buts in the Bible. A lot of buts. Well, here's a very important but right in the middle of this text of Scripture. And so that's the picture that I want to paint for you tonight from this text that was preached 100 years ago by the Dean at a special service to mark the opening of the new Northern Ireland Parliament. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's start tonight with the stairs that are going up. The first part of the verse, righteousness exalteth a nation. The idea there is of righteousness taking a nation on an upward curve. Exalteth, going up. So it's the idea of stairs. Stairs that are going up here in Proverbs 14:34. Notice that there's four steps on this staircase. There's four steps. Righteousness, first step. Exalteth, second step. Third step. Nation, fourth step. Four steps on this staircase going up. The staircase of righteousness that exalts a nation. Righteousness is a wonderful word, isn't it? What's the standard of righteousness? Here it is. The Bible. Here's the standard of righteousness. If you want to know what righteousness is, study this book. Read this book. This is a book we need to be studying more than ever in these days. We're inclined, folks, aren't we, to read other books? So many other books before we get to the Bible. But may the Lord bring us back to the Bible, because that's where the standard of righteousness is found. It was John Wesley who said, "I'm a Bible bigot." You hear a lot of people today talking about bigots. Oh, you're bigoted if you hold a certain view. Especially Christians. You're allowed to hold any view you like apart from biblical Christianity today. If you hold to the Bible, you're a bigot. Well, John Wesley, he used that term all those years ago. "I'm a Bible bigot." What he meant was, he was a man of one book. He believed the Bible. And if it wasn't in the Bible, he would have nothing to do with it. If it wasn't the Bible, he was going to obey it, come rain, hail, or snow. The Church of Jesus Christ in the West would need to get back to that position in these days, back to the Bible, wouldn't we? Stand on the firm foundation of Scripture. You get away from the Bible, who knows where you'll end up? As individuals, as churches, as a country, God forbid that we should depart from Holy Scripture, for therein is the standard of righteousness. You know, over these last 100 years in Ulster, in this little province, God has blessed us. He has turned us into a righteous nation. He has made us a righteous nation. Righteousness has exalted this little nation over the past 100 years. And the reason why righteousness has exalted us is because we have believed the Bible. We have obeyed the Bible. We have been people of the Bible. And we've gone up the stairs, as it were. Righteousness exalteth a nation. The standard of righteousness is to be found in the Bible. What a precious book it is. What a wonderful book it is. There's no book like the Bible. How blessed we are to have it. You know, in the 1850s, didn't Queen Victoria meet that African envoy? He came to visit the Queen in Windsor Castle. And there's a painting, you can visit it. Well, you'll have to wait to 2023, because apparently they're renovating. It's in the National Portrait Gallery in London. There's a special oil painting by a man called Thomas Barker, "The Secret of England's Greatness." And the painting there has Queen Victoria, and the African ambassador is kneeling before her, and he questions her, and he asks her, "Madam, how is it that the British Empire is so powerful? Or to put it another way, what is the secret of the empire's greatness?" Of course, Queen Victoria replied, "The secret of the empire's greatness is in this book, the Bible." And she handed the African prince a copy of the Bible. You know, by the way, that Queen Victoria sent Bibles to Nigeria. She distributed Bibles. She was a godly queen, a God-fearing queen. I've told you before about her visit to Balmoral, and she used to go round the little cottages. And one lady questioned her and asked her, was she ready for heaven? And she said, "I am, through faith in the precious blood of Christ." She spoke of the blood. A wonderful leader. She believed in the greatness of the Bible. She believed that the Bible is a precious book. She believed that the Bible was the standard of righteousness. The Bible is our rule of faith and practice. The regulative principle. Have you heard that? I've spoke about it before. It's a term that theologians use. The regulative principle. We seem to have forgotten it in recent times. Basically, the regulative principle states that whatever the Bible says, we abide by it. No matter what anybody else says. If the Bible says it, we do it. If the Bible forbids it, we don't do it. The regulative principle. I pray that in this church, the regulative principle will always apply. Yes, the standard of righteousness is in the Bible. And a nation that obeys the Bible, a nation that proclaims what the Bible contains, is going to be an exalted nation. God is going to make that nation a great nation. Because that's really what it means here when it says righteousness exalteth a nation. Basically what it means is righteousness makes a nation great. You know, whenever that African prince came to Queen Victoria, she could have said, it's our great army that has made us great. It's our great navy that has made us great. It's our wealth that has made us great. But she didn't. She knew that it was the Bible that made the empire great. You know, our nation needs to get back to the Bible. The church needs to lead the way. We need to get our feet back on the solid foundation of Holy Scripture if we want our nation to be exalted once again. Little Northern Ireland needs to get its spiritual feet back on the firm foundation of Scripture, because that's where the standard of righteousness is. Well, the standard of righteousness, what about the source of righteousness? It's a person. Christ. Don't we love to sing it? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is my righteousness. I'm glad about that. If John Henry could stand in this pulpit tonight, folks, he would say, Jesus is my righteousness. Someday, in the Lord's time, he's going to meet Jehovah Tsidkenu. See him face to face. He's going home to glory. It appears that's going to be soon. But the Lord's in control. We don't know the Lord's timing. But we know that he has his time, and when the time comes, then he'll send the chariot for our brother and take him home. Same with each one of us. Whenever our work on earth is done, the chariot will arrive. But not until then. I want to tell you, folks, we are bulletproof until our work is done. They can talk about viruses and variants and all the rest of it, but we're bulletproof till our work is done. So take heart from that tonight. Our brother John has his faith in Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord his righteousness. Oh, I bless the name of Jesus that he's my righteousness tonight. For I tell you, I have no righteousness to offer a holy God. I have nothing but filthy rags. And the Lord doesn't want my filthy rags, nor he doesn't want yours. The only righteousness that impresses him is the righteousness of his dear son. I want to tell you that, folks. And don't you think that it's sort of like a mixture, kind of like mixing oil and water or something. You know, you mix your righteousness with Christ's righteousness and God will accept you. He won't. Don't pollute the righteousness of Christ with your own supposed righteousness or mine. It's his righteousness alone, or it's hell for all eternity. Wasn't it John Bunyan walking through the fields in depression and despair one day, But then the Holy Spirit brought a wonderful thought to his mind. My righteousness is in heaven. The very words the Holy Spirit put into his mind, and Bunyan cried out in joy, my righteousness is in heaven, at God's right hand. I'm glad tonight that my righteousness, that John Henry's, that every believer in here tonight, that our righteousness is in heaven. For Christ is the source of righteousness. He's made unto us righteousness, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Ulster used to be a great nation. Now there's still a remnant. I am so glad that there's still a remnant in this little province. But if we want to be a great nation once again, we need to get back to Christ, the source of righteousness. I really enjoy the open airs because our brother Kenny, more or less every time that he preaches, he emphasizes that we're not out to preach a church or a religion, but we're out to preach a person, to tell people about a person, to tell people about the source of righteousness. Go with your emptiness to Christ, like the people in Egypt went to Joseph, who controlled the storehouses. I want to tell you folks that there are storehouses of righteousness at God's right hand for poor sinners. And Jesus opens the storehouses of righteousness to the poor penitents that come to him. And he gives them his righteousness. The righteousness that he earned by his spotless life. Spotless life. Don't be discouraged tonight, believer, if you see your failings and your personal depravity, because I see my own. We all do. It's the mark of a true believer. The more holy a believer is, Spurgeon said, the more they lament their unholiness. I like that. There's a lot of truth in that. So there's the stairs that the book of Proverbs takes us up in chapter 14. Righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, the tragedy in Ulster and the tragedy in the United Kingdom and south of the border is that in recent times, that instead of going up the stairs of righteousness, we have gone down the stairs of disgrace. That's what the other half of the verse speaks of. Sin is a reproach to any people. Our nation, as it were, swung the door open on its hinges, that little word but, and has gone down the 8 steps. But sin is a reproach to any people. Those 8 words, mark them as we finish. You know, these words could be chiseled on the tombstone of many an empire down through the history of the world. Think about the Roman Empire. The great Roman Empire that was at its zenith when Christ came into the world. All the Caesars and the Roman roads and Pax Romana, the peace that Rome kept, the great Roman Empire. Where's the Roman Empire today? Sin got in. Started to corrupt it, and it fell. You see what Proverbs is getting at here? Sin is a reproach to any people. The word reproach there, it means disgrace or shame. It's a disgrace, it's a shame to any people. We've talked tonight about the British Empire. We've touched on it already, Queen Victoria. My, the noonday splendor of the British Empire when the missionaries were launching forth. And the 1800s, what an amazing century of missions. William Carey, the father of modern missions. Boy, we could have spoken on that today on Father's Day. The father of modern missions, they called him. Carey went to India. His printing factory was burned down, but he started again. He didn't let it stop him.
That's the spirit we need today, isn't it? Whenever the devil knocks you down, get up again. And Kerry and Judson and Livingstone and all those brave hearts went forth. And the British Empire helped spread the gospel around the world. Royal Britannia, isn't that what they talked about? The great British Navy. How is the British Empire doing today? You'll not find it. Because sin is a reproach to any people. Sin got in. Sin got in. Sin has got into our little country, and let me just say this as we finish. Sin has become a reproach to our people. Do you know since April of last year, almost 2,000 children have been murdered in the womb in our province? Do you know that every year the NHS in our United Kingdom spends £120 million on abortions? Do you get that figure? The NHS, £120 million every year on abortion. Do you believe what Proverbs says? Sin is a reproach to any people. We've gone down the stairs, we've gone down the steps as a nation. And there's 8 steps. And then, you know what happens when you step off the 8th step? You step off into oblivion. There's no 9th step. Because the Lord says, I've had enough. And the stench of the sin reaches the nostrils of a holy God. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I don't know if the Lord has mercy for our nation. I don't know if we've gone beyond the point of no return. I don't know. I pray that he has mercy on us. The hymn writer said, great King of nations, hear our prayer, while at thy feet we fall, and humbly with united cry, to thee for mercy call. The guilt is ours, but grace is thine. O turn us not away, but hear us from thy lofty throne, and help us when we pray.